2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to deal with what I've been mentioning off and on the last couple of weeks. And it will be teachy, there's no doubt about it. But I feel like the Lord's put this on my heart. And He knows what we need. He knows what I need. And I hope you'll listen intently. And I hope you'll enjoy it. I don't know if you can or not, but I do believe it's true. We're talking about gaslighting. Gaslighting, the first time I heard about it, I thought, what in the world? Well, it came from that 1944 movie, Gaslight, and about a man trying to drive his wife crazy, trying to convince her that she was unstable, and he's doing a lot of things, saying a lot of things to make her think that something was wrong with her. And from that, the news picked it up, and our country has picked it up, and I guess the world. But it's more or less talking about those who try to manipulate or control others. I said this morning, this message is more than just for those who are narcissists or those who know those who are narcissistic. There's a whole lot more involved. And let's look at the verses and I'll try to explain that. Verse 1, this know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And notice what he says, from such turn away. There's no doubt about it, that is the atmosphere of our day. Those things that I've just read, you can say in your heart, no doubt, that's right, that's right, that's right. Yeah, I agree, and we're seeing those things. I think we can boil it down to where we can say this. All of us want our way. And that's just simply the truth. I'm titling this gaslighting, Villain or Victim? The villain is the one that's guilty, and the victim is the one that knows somebody who is this type of person. Either way, get this, either way. I want to say it again, either way, I want us to concentrate on ourselves. I mentioned that this morning, the way to get help from God, not just for yourself, but for others, is to concentrate on yourself to make sure that you're right with Him. And if the things that I mentioned are true of you, please admit it. I say that to myself. We need to be honest with ourselves to try and cover up or pretend to say, well, I'm okay when we're not. We'll never get help and we'll never be help to the others and we'll never please God. So concentrate on yourself and your relationship with the Lord. If nothing else helps or if nothing else happens by me going through these thoughts, other than each of us say, I want to make sure I'm close to the Lord, it'll be worth the effort. I said again, I'll go on. We all have these tendencies. We all have a selfishness in us. We all have a jealousy in us. We all have a draw to wanting things our way. And even though I will mention things that are to the extreme in those cases, all those things are true. I want to mention, this will be all I do tonight, explain about narcissism or the definition involved. We need to describe it. It will not be fun, but we need to. Narcissism is a personality disorder. It's an excessive self-importance, more important than others, a need for admiration or attention, a lack of empathy or caring, a need to manipulate and use others, and an extreme case of never taking the blame for anything. That's a description, short description of narcissism. Now, the definition involved, it is first defined by disobedience. If you look at those things that I just mentioned, we can say over and over, and each one say, that's not what God demands. That's not what God requests. That's not what God desires. In other words, it's disobedience, everything I just mentioned. And a narcissist is a person who no doubt is disobeying God. First, they're selfish. They think only of themselves. They are insecure. They need attention. Listen, they expect others to make them happy. They make you feel guilty when you don't make them happy. I say this, only God can be our resource. If we want to be happy, we have to look to the Lord and no one else. Nobody can make us happy. Nobody's supposed to make us happy. God doesn't expect a people to make you happy because He's the one that can give you joy and peace and contentment. The narcissist is selfish. That's the sign of disobedience. They always blame others. They will have you apologizing for something you did not do. They are experts in manipulation. The narcissist never admits their flaws. It's always someone else's fault. Now, I do believe I know some that have these tendencies. Not anybody at the church, not thinking about you at all. But I do know this, as I examine their lives, I can tell you time after time after time after time after time that they did something wrong and somehow it became someone else's fault. If they had not done this, I would not have done that. They got this wrong, that's why this happened. That's the narcissist. They want their way. I'm talking about it's disobedience. It's selfishness. They want their way all the time, no matter what the cost and no matter who gets hurt. A narcissist is selfish. That's disobedience. A narcissist is sinful. Well, that's surely disobedient. In other words, their thoughts, their words, their actions, their reactions violate God's word. That's called sin. What they think, what they say, how they act, and how they react to the circumstances and to people are sinful. It grieves God. It violates God's word. It's against what God commands. Now, a godly person, or can I use this word, a normal person will sooner or later, hopefully sooner, accept the blame and say, I was wrong. I did that and I should not. That's disobedient. That's sinful. And they will say, I am sorry, God. I am sorry, friend, family member. I'm sorry, other person. And they'll get right with the Lord, but not a narcissist. They will not accept the blame. It's always someone else's fault, why they did what they did, even though what they did is definitely sinful. Also, I'm talking about the definition involved. It's defined with the word disobedience. Selfishness, that's disobedience. Sinful, that's disobedience. A narcissist also is scared. They are afraid. They're paranoid. They cannot handle rejection. Someone rejecting them is something they cannot handle. Therefore, they need to control people. They are afraid that someone will get out of their grasp, their control, so they deliberately try to control people. And here's the problem with that, at least one problem. They think they're right. When they get angry, when someone doesn't do what they want them to do, they're scared of losing control of circumstances. They're afraid, they're scared of losing control of people. And if anybody ever does something they don't want or think they should not have done, there's trouble inside. I'm telling you, they're scared, they're paranoid, they cannot handle rejection. They think they're right to be angry and they will accuse you of doing what they have done or what they're doing. They're scared. So I'm talking about defined by the word disobedience. The definition is what we're talking about tonight. The narcissist is selfish. That's disobedience. Sinful, that's disobedience. Scared even is disobedience. But then also a narcissist is spoiled. And this is because people who deal with these type of people get tired of the battle. And they finally just say, I'm going to give in, I'm going to compromise, I'm going to do what they want just to get along to where there won't be a fuss, there won't be an argument, there won't be a consequence. The narcissist is like a spoiled child that's used to getting what they want. There's nothing on earth worse than that. As a child or as an adult, they are spoiled. Those closest to them finally say the battle's not worth it, and they give in. And so often they go far beyond just giving in, and they become a codependent. That's a whole new message, which means they enable them. They go along to get along, just give in, just do it, just let them have their way. And all they're doing is making it worse, 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 worse. Take care of them, pamper them, it makes it worse. The definition involved is defined by the word disobedience. Narcissism also is defined by the word deception. They do not see themselves as they are. If you know one, you probably inside are shaking your head. Yes, that's how they are. They think they are caring. They think if they profess to be saved, and what I'm talking about tonight are those who profess to be saved for the most part, but those who do not see themselves as they are, they think they're caring and spiritually right and right with the Lord. They really believe that. And that means, I'm talking about deception, that means if they're right, you're wrong. And they think they're always right and you're always wrong. But the problem is they do not see themselves as they are. They do not know the truth. And since they think they're always right, they're deceived. And you're always wrong, they're deceived. They never admit their error or their blame or their wrong. And they never say, I'm sorry. But they are prone to hold a grudge, and they are prone to hold over your head what you have done and never forget it. So that is deception. Talk about the definition of narcissism. What is this animal? What is this thing? Well, it's disobedience. It's deception. And it also can be defined by the word division. Strange thing, I don't know if it's strange or not after I have looked into the subject, but one of the characteristics of a narcissist is they want to be the only one in your life. If it's a friend or a family member, it's the friend that smothers you. Now, every friend that smothers you does not necessarily mean they're a narcissist, but a narcissist will smother you. They want you to be the only friend. They want you to be the only one in their life. They become dependent on you, and they want you to become dependent on them. They aren't happy unless you devote yourself to them. And here's the strange thing is they aren't happy unless you aren't happy. I have seen this. They will stir the pot to cause friction to get an argument going. And once the argument's going, then they're happy. Now, I can't understand that. I don't want anybody mad at me for any reason. But this type of person, as long as everything's running smooth and going well, they seem discontent. And they will be in a bad mood until they get everybody else in a bad mood, and then they are in a good mood. I don't understand that. It's division, separating. Now, if you notice, and I'll try and say this before I quit, because that's really my whole point. All these things are things the devil uses anyway. No matter who we're talking about, the worst of the worst or the best of the best, the devil uses these against God's people. The narcissism is defined, I'm talking about the definition. It's defined by the word disobedience. They're disobeying God. Deception, they're deceived. Division, they want to divide. And then the word dominance. They want to control. But they want to control your thinking. Because as long as you're thinking rightly and you're thinking freely, they don't have control of you. They want to control you. They want to confuse you. They will twist the facts or deny the facts to make the point sound like they're telling the truth or they're right and you're wrong. It will get you to wonder, who is right? What is the truth? It will be confusing and difficult on you if you're one of the victims. They will convince you that you are the one that's wrong. It's called manipulation, emotional control. They will use guilt to manipulate you. Well, you shouldn't have done that. How could you say such a thing to me? How could you treat me this way? Or they may use fear. There's no telling what they'll use, but they're trying to get their way, trying to get you to do what they want. They will use their anger to control you because you don't want another fuss. You don't want another argument. You don't want another problem. They will use their anger to control you. And once they find out it works, they will use it for sure. That's exactly what the devil does, by the way. If he finds out something works on us, he will keep using that same weapon over and over and over until it does not work any longer, and then maybe he'll use something else to attack. The narcissist uses dominance. They want to control. They will control you with their anger, if we let them, or they will control you with your love. Because if they're a friend or they're a family member, you probably love them. And they will use that against you to control you, to keep you off balance and to play mind games to where you are so confused and so controlled and so dominated that you don't hardly know which way's up. And you feel like you got to walk on eggshells because if you don't do like they want you to do, if you don't let them dominate, they're going to make you pay one way or the other. They may blow up. Or they may do the silent treatment, and I don't know which is worse. Well, I'll tell you what I'd rather have. I'd rather have the silent treatment, but if you care for them, that hurts too. They want to dominate. They want to control you. Oh, listen. They want you to fear them. They want you under their control, even if it means you're afraid of them, because they know you're afraid or you do not desire the conflict, and you will do what it takes to keep peace. And again, you will compromise, you will go along to get along. But the problem is that hurts and harms and destroys you. And that's the problem that we need to recognize and how to deal with this type of person. I will deal with that, Lord willing, before I'm done. Right now, I'm just telling you how bad it is, the definition of narcissism. They will cause a problem. Talking about dominance. They will cause a problem and blame you for it. They will get angry and say that you're the one that caused it. They will get angry and then they will wait for you to either explode or start an argument and then blame you for the whole thing. It's always your fault they're wanting to control. And then lastly tonight, I'm talking about tonight just the definition. What does it mean? Let's define it. Let's know what we're talking about. Well, it has a definition that is defined by disobedience and by deception and by division and by dominance and by the word demonic. Now, did that make you say, oh no, inside? Did that put an urgency in your heart? Did that put a little bit of fear or caution in your mind? I hope so. Because as I've suggested briefly, as I've gone through all these points, every single point I have mentioned is exactly the type of things the devil does. Disobedience, deception, division, dominance. And I think about how the devil started out dealing with Adam and Eve. He tried to dominate. He tried to control. He tried to get them to do what he wanted them to do. And then he blamed them. Just exactly what Adam did, by the way, too. It's that woman you gave me. This is something that's been going on a long time. Defined by the word demonic. The same traits that Lucifer had. To control, wanting attention, being deceived. Whether narcissism in any case or not, any case, one or the other, is a natural problem, really a mental issue that certainly becomes a spiritual issue, or whether it is actually demonic, I don't know. I do know this, I don't believe at all that believers can be possessed by demons or possessed by the devil, but we surely can be oppressed and we can be controlled. There's no doubt about that. And I do know this, the things I mentioned, disobedience, deception, division, dominance, that's not of God. So that means it either comes from me or it comes from the devil. And that's why it's so important that we look at these thoughts and let me teach a little bit, even on a Sunday night, to examine these truths and see what we need to learn and what we need to do. No doubt about it, the thoughts and the actions of this type of person come from somewhere. Something or someone is causing it. And for certain, I'll end where I started. Every one of us need this because every one of us battle with the fact of we are tendency or leaning toward, we have a tendency toward division, a tendency toward disobedience, a tendency toward being deceived about our true condition. A tendency of wanting to dominate to some degree or other. We want people to do what we want them to do. So these tendencies, whether you are full-blown narcissistic or if you know somebody who is full-blown narcissistic or if you're just what I might would call a normal, natural believer that's battling these things of the flesh, we need this message. I think we'll deal with some things that will help. I want you to turn to Psalm 139. I want us to read through this slowly because that's where I want us to be when we walk out the door. 139, beginning in verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The psalmist said, Lord, search my heart, search me deeply, try me, examine me thoroughly, and then show me if there's anything in my heart, in my life, in my mind you're not pleased with, and help me to deal with it. And that's the burden that I have from this message. I don't know that I've ever even thought seriously about bringing this type of message until the last couple of months. And I am convinced it's the Lord's will. And tonight we didn't do much except explain it to some degree, a little bit of it. But I hope in the next week or two, don't have any idea how long, we'll be looking at some things that'll help us. Let's just pause for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. Lord, I'm convinced this is your will. I pray, Lord, that these who are here and those who may hear it somehow in the future, Lord, may we all focus on ourselves. As we reminded ourselves about A.W. Tozer and what he said this morning, Lord, about Lord, no matter what anybody else does, I can seek you. I can ask you to search my heart. I can make sure I'm right. I can have a real move by you in my life and heart and mind. I ask for that for each of us. Oh God, may we not be content to just walk through, stumble through life. Lord, just barely pleasing you, barely serving you. Just, oh God, may you stir our hearts. Give us the desire and the willingness to let you search us. And then, Lord, do a thorough job working and moving. I'll thank you and give you the glory for whatever you do. In Jesus' name.